This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, guys. 404 and DJS and KMOX. Our buddy Megan McBride is here from the Kelly Group. I mean, Mark Scores. Can I start with just how stupid I am? Rach and Wheels will confirm, I have been texting furiously through all of these segments, which is a no-no. I should be paying attention to my show, but I'm not. I am having a text fight with the dumbest version of AI I've ever seen, because everyone at AT&T, you're idiots. I hate you. Look, I don't care. I don't give an S. They texted me on Friday, a computer did, and said, hey, there's an outage in your neighborhood. And then you can look it up, and there's a red circle around my neighborhood, about 20 houses. And they're like, it'll be done in 3 hours, this Friday. All weekend, nothing. No internet, no TV, no nothing. Which is bad for everyone, but it's really bad when you have a four-hour content-eating show. Because I'm just, like, Rachel tell me something. She could have told me anything, like, hey, how about Iowa getting nuked? I'm like, what? And so they scheduled someone to come out and fix it. And then they immediately said, oh, no. It's an outage in the neighborhood. That won't do. So I'm texting, like, do I have an appointment tomorrow or not? They're like, sure do. See you between 8 and noon. And I said, even though it's a neighborhood issue, then they send me the AT&T.com, like, look here. I'm like, I've done that several. I'm just. This,
yeah.
If you could talk to a human who had answers, great. If you could talk to an AI that had answers, fantastic. But when neither your humans or your AI have anything to tell you that's worthwhile, you should go outside and practice falling down. You should all do something different for a living than for what you're doing. You feel my frustration?
I do. And I had this a couple of years ago. I think I counted the total number of hours I was on the phone, basically trying to cancel my local friendly cable company, which I did cancel for a couple of months, but they kept charging me even though I didn't have anything. And so trying to get this charge, monthly recurring charge, to stop, because what was happening is as the charge went up, then I would get bill collectors. And so I had 19 total hours on the phone with a cable company. And while I was on the phone and they were saying, oh, yes, we'll make sure this charge is taken off of your bill, I would get another phone call, which was the cable company, and it was the survey. How was your experience?
I got that too.
Yes,
I got
that too. While you're on the phone with them. And then another phone call saying, if you don't pay this bill, we will send you to bill collectors. And this happened until one point. I didn't have cable for 3 months, and my bill was $590 because it kept charging me. And like, we don't know how this is happening.
Now, the human I talked to at AT&T, who's a nice guy, said, now this is literally what he said. Now, Mr. Glover, here's the good part. You don't get charged for any of these days that you don't have our services. I'm like, well, hi-dee-hoo. You're my new favorite company. Like, that's their upside, is they're not going to charge you when they're not giving you the service. And I told the guy, I think he wrote it down. They all hate me, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure they're screwing with me now when they, like, sent me the survey. But I said, like, dude, it's like going to McDonald's 4 days in a row, ordering a Big Mac, and they give you a peanut butter sandwich. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it doesn't matter how nice the drive-thru person is. They're not giving you what you bargained for.
Well, and they're all bad. It happens with every option you have. I've had the decade I've lived in this region, I have had every single one you can get to get internet. They're all bad. And
you're
eventually,
right.
I just go back and forth. I'm like, well, I've had it with you for year three. Right. Now I'm going back to the other one.
Yeah, because I'm telling these guys, like, I'm going to Spectrum.
Well,
like,
I don't want to go to Spectrum. That's, you just have to, because they're too big, all of them. They all end up glitchy. They don't really care about customer service because they know you need the internet.
Right.
I mean, it's an unfortunate. Yeah. We should do something about that.
Maybe
if our state legislature... you know, did real stuff people care about, we could, like, address these types of, like, legitimate consumer issues.
How do you make them care? How can you make a big behemoth care? Whether it's AT&T or M&M's or whatever. Like, how do you make those people care?
I mean, usually it's government regulation, isn't it? Someone's telling you what to do. Someone is saying, here's the standard within which you must operate and how you must treat people. And you cannot just be charging people bills.
Yeah.
And after a certain period of time, you will be punished if you continue to treat consumers in this way. I mean, that's typically what we would hope would happen. And it's amazing to me that we don't expect that out of the internet, which we all now require to do everything, even if we don't want to.
Right.
And it hurts people, too, at the worst possible time. So this was something, it was at my crusade for like 2 weeks when I was on with Charlie. And I said in my head, I'm picturing Satan himself sitting at the table looking at the cable company and going, well, this is a little heavy handed. You know, like that's how it felt. Because we had people call in like their spouse would die. And if their name wasn't on the cable, they couldn't cancel it. They couldn't get to the account. They're like, well, we need to talk to this person. Well, he's been dead for 6 years. I mean, it's really... it's inexplicably incompetent.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. This is going to be interesting given what Megan just said. But they did a poll. And do you know what Americans say is the number one problem in America? Government.
Of course.
Across the board. Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green Party. Across the board, by huge margins, Americans said the number one problem in our country is the government.
I believe that 100%. Well, and I was just on a rant about this yesterday, watching CBS Sunday Morning. They're talking about LBJ, you know, and all the things he did. They're going down the list of the stuff that we really now look at as Americans, like that's central to American government, right? Like Social Security, all this stuff that we know we must have. Yet, like, we still don't think government can fix our problems, right? Like, at one point, government really did work and say, you know what? This is probably an issue that we should resolve. Like, government fixed problems. Is it perfect? No, but it's like a constant battle to continue to improve. And I think about that and I get so frustrated, particularly in the state of Missouri, whenever you have a legislature, you have a government run by people who hate government. We should not be surprised that government is not working for anybody, right? Like, this is a party that philosophically believes government is the problem. So if you don't believe government is the problem, Democrats, then you are going to be mad at government when it's being run by people who hate government. You know, does this all of course, how are we surprised that we're in this situation? Literally half the people who want to be elected to government say that government's the problem. Well, then why are you there?
I know you don't know. Do you think they really believe it? I know a lot of Republicans who I know believe it. I'm not sure Republican legislators.
Oh, I don't think that they dislike power. I think they dislike anyone telling them what to do, which, let's be honest, that's what government is. Government is here to keep us all structured in line, make sure we don't have, you know, chaos. But that means someone's telling you what to do. That means someone's setting parameters on you, right? The same way maybe government could say, internet company, you cannot do this. Yes, you may do this. No, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in power, then being in government's a great place for you to be.
Megan,
but if you're interested in government and you don't like government, it's not going to add up. And we're not going to have productivity. People are not going to feel good. And it's going to seep into the culture. And people are going to say, I hate government.
I have a 17-year-old daughter, and she's way cooler than most, but it's like having a teenager who's like, I'm so tired of you controlling me. Hey, the fridge is empty.
Can I have $15 for some takeout now?
Right.
I don't know. You know, yeah, exactly. It's counterintuitive.
Aren't people just saying they hate politicians? Because government is just a structure. It's a nothing.
Well, and that's
It's just the people. So when you ask Democrats, they're going to hate government because a lot of it's populated by people they don't like. And it's the same the other way. Republicans will be like, well, there's too many Democrats. I don't think that people demonize the government because it's easy, because it can't fight back, because it's just a thing.
Well, and those are two different things. You're totally right. Politicians, politics, it walks with government,
right?
But they are not the same thing.
Right.
And so that's not always, you know, I don't think we're always great in this country about being clear of what things actually are and aren't. But I think I was like just getting like angry at home yesterday watching this, like, yeah, we used to be able to do stuff because people realize that government is a vehicle to improve things. Like, it's not the end all be all, but it is a tool to improve your community, your your state, whatever. Yeah. And if you don't like that, if you'd rather throw the tool in the garbage than use it, yeah, you're only going to create more problems.
So I've asked this kind of question many times, and I usually get the same answer. So my question is, of course, we all want to know what's going on, and we want to the government to be transparent, and now we're all, like, obsessed with it. Just happier lives. Do you think we were happier when we really didn't care or watch? We just voted once every few years, and we went back to swinging a hammer or doing whatever we did, and then we would vote again. But we weren't obsessed with government. They were doing their stuff. They were making their deals. We had highways and cops. Was it better when we didn't watch every move they made?
Absolutely. Like, but you mean before it was entertainment?
Yes.
Like when people actually sat down, watched the news, read their paper, absorbed factual information that made you a better person? Sure. That's a good thing. Using government, using politics as your only form of entertainment, mm-hmm. and convoluting entertainment with fact, yeah, people are, how could you not be miserable if you sat and watched that all day long?
Yeah, and I would say, too, what you said, people aren't good at being clear what government is and what government isn't. I mean, as a conservative, you know, historic Republican, I think the government does a lot of things really well. I think it does a lot of things really poorly. I don't like government bloat, government expansion. So it's not that, oh, I hate the government, because how can you say, I love America, I love the Constitution, and I hate the government? Well, you can't love the Constitution and hate the government. That's the government. That our United States government's pretty extraordinary. I like it. I don't like abuses of it. I don't like certain policies. I don't like bloat. I think where we've gone, because like there have been major issues in our country that needed to be fixed, right? We always look back with nostalgia, but there were problems in the past too. But specifically to this issue with government and politics becoming so toxic, I think what's happening is our institutions, or they call them stabilizing institutions, like communities and churches and groups, whether it's a bowling group or just sitting on your front porch and talking to your neighbor, we've turned away from those things, and this idea of politics and partisan politics has stepped in. We've turned away from church groups and partisan politics has stepped in. We've turned away from our neighbors or getting involved, like I said, in all of these more community-based activities. We've become more online. So we've pulled away from each other, and a lot of those little holes that are filled that used to be filled with people and experiences and diversity, well, now they're filled with partisan politics. I think that's what's happened, is it's playing different critical roles in our lives.
Do you guys think that our obsession with government as entertainment is because we're fascinated by it because of the personalities, the same way we are like Real Housewives? Or is it being right and being wrong and lording your rightness over those who are wrong?
I think it goes a little bit from my perspective to what Amy said of, it gives people this feeling like, I'm on the right team. You know, like that's your community now, right? That's who gets you. That's who you see eye to eye with. So, but instead of it being people you're actually interfacing with, it's somebody that you watch on television. It's a group you follow on Facebook, or, you know, it's become funneled through that instead. So I do think there is something about it gives people what I would say is a false sense of community, right? It makes you feel like you are part of something, but really, like, you're just part of something that's really there to make somebody else a whole lot of money, right? Like, let's think about, like, Fox News, these big news. Like, those don't exist to improve American culture, community, society. Like, we know what those are. They are a money-making machine. And it lulls people into this false sense of, like, belonging when it's not really the intention
of it.
Well,
not to crap on sports, because I love sports, but it's really no different.
It's exactly
like
the same.
Cards Nation. Well, okay.
Right.
Like,
except
I
that one thing
it.
Is just entertainment.
Right. One matters and one ultimately doesn't matter.
It's so the same. I was watching the Chiefs game, which I am not a football or NFL person. My dad, massive Chiefs fan. I'm watching it with him. And the whole time I'm like, I just don't get it, right? Like, I just don't get this. And then about halfway through, I realized, also, I don't understand the rules. So no wonder I don't get it, right? Like, but that fervor and, like, they zoomed in on a man in the crowd who looked absolutely insane. And I was like, I am embarrassed for you because somebody at your job is going to see you having a tantrum like a 2-year-old on national television. But that's like totally cool for that group of but I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. I hope you're not embarrassed tomorrow. Right. But it's a pretty astonishing thing when you're not that into it to sit back and you're like, oh, man, it is strong.
Even before the Trump era. Mm-hmm. And I'll give the man credit for reinventing politics and reinventing passion for politics. But even before that, back when I was on 97.1 and kind of had to watch politics and begin to care about it, like when you'd have your conventions and the straw hat pork pie people would show up, like you're the freaks, you know what I mean? Like if you're dressing like a band leader from 1913, you know, it's like you're the problem.
I was just going to say it's funny because everybody looks at everybody else that same way, right? Yeah. Sports fans would look at the people at the conventions losing their minds over some rando with no personality. And you're like, why? This thing, at least over here, there's people running into each other.
You're right.
I think this is a weird combination. And I'll be honest, you know, I'm probably at times harder on the right, on the Republican side, because that's, you know, the side I've always been on. And when you see it going astray, you freak out. You're like, oh, my gosh. And what's so weird about the right, and it really exploded with the Trump era, because he did appeal to our basis impulses, reality TV, right? Just that gross name calling. Somehow he was able to, it was the worst combination of like merging the Desperate Housewives reality, Real Housewives, reality TV, Paradise Island, whatever it is, whatever the scandal is that you're like, ugh, I love to watch it, with like the weird Jerry Falwell religiosity. So it's like Jesus and Real Housewives. So we're going to call you names and be scandalous and own the libs, but also Jesus wants us to do it. And that's the weirdest thing to me, that it was this combination of name-calling scandal and religiosity.
But also those things like for people who aren't religious, like that's kind of how you look at religion. Like, really? Like you're that? You just, that's your thing? You know, like everyone has their thing that they can be totally convinced of is 100% like put all your energy and your passion into it. And it is fascinating to see those two things meld
together. I get
together.
It.
It hurts. It breaks my heart. Yeah. It's not how it should be.
I have
be.
A tattoo of Bigfoot. I get it. Okay, Megan McBride is here. Amy Marks Gore's think tank. Let's continue just to bitch and moan. The government says that $5.4 billion in COVID aid went to firms using fake Social Security numbers.
Yeah.
Billion. Like, we all knew this, right?
Right.
I mean, when we give away $1 trillion, you know that a lot of it's going to be fake. A guy I met in Colorado who owns a coffee place was an investment banker. We're like, oh, how'd you get here? He's like, I was an investment banker, and I was the vice president, and I had so many PPP loans coming through that I knew were fraudulent. And I went to my president and said, hey, I know these are fraudulent. And the president told him, you just write them, let the government worry about it. Ugh. And he quit. He opened up a coffee shop in Colorado.
Good for him, by the way.
I wouldn't go to that coffee shop.
Yeah.
Good for that guy.
It's not surprising, unfortunately.
And you knew some of it would happen, right? And that's okay. Like, we knew that when the government starts writing checks and handing them out to people, it was unprecedented pandemic that I think we had bipartisan support to help people, help businesses. You knew some of it would happen. I think it's a little bit you flinch when you find out how much of this, you know, was misused. And that's hard to take.
Well, to me, it kind of makes the case for having better, I don't love the term, for lack of a better term, a safety net, that government creates a more stable base all the time, so that when it gets really bad and things go crazy and crisis hits, you don't have to say, well, I guess we just have to write $1 trillion in checks right now because we didn't know what to do if crisis hits.
Like, that's a good point.
If you actually, I don't know, think about what would happen if we all couldn't go to work anymore? What would people need? People would need to be able to keep their home. Like, people would need food. All these little things. Like, that's kind of what government's there for, is to protect us.
We were pretty flat-footed.
We were not prepared in any way, shape, or form. And now we wasted, $5.4
billion. It's easy to say, like, well, it never happened. But you go back to George W., 20 years before, and he was like, you know what could happen? We should be ready for this. Really smart stuff today. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
438 DGS. Matt Pauly joins us from the newsroom. How's the haircut?
It's good.
Treating you okay?
It is. Yeah, I was thinking, this is very embarrassing. This is very pathetic. Good. But you guys know me well enough to know that I don't really hold back. I did my hair the exact same way for, 20 plus years, so I don't know how to do this.
Sure.
When I got the haircut, I asked the person to kind of show me, but I'm still having a hard time with it. So my wife is currently helping me with my hair on an everyday basis. That's the pathetic part. Like, I literally need her to come help me. The problem is I'm 13 days away from going to spring training.
Uh-oh.
My wife's not coming with me. So I got to figure out how to pull this off on my own in the next 13 days.
Let me say something.
You grab a brush.
As a middle-aged heterosexual man, you are adorable. I just love that you think that, like, you're going to go talk to R and R is going to be like, what's up with haircut 100 here? Can someone teach this guy how to brush his hair? You should probably take me with you so I can help you out with
okay,
that. Yeah. I'll brush it every day.
I'll call you
my hands.
Hey, Club, we need you to come over.
Rach.
Dave.
Tell me about, I saw this story. It made me mad. Dr. Biden.
Okay. I'm just wondering if I'm the only person in the world who genuinely doesn't care whether or not we call Jill Biden Dr. Jill Biden. So I guess she went to the Eagles game and the camera panned over and they showed her and it was subtitled as Dr. Jill Biden because she's kind of made that known that she likes to be called doctor.
And my ex-girlfriend.
Yes, Megyn Kelly had a tweet about it, and she was like, she looks like such a fool when she insists on putting doctor in front of her name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like the only person who does not care one way or the other. I'm not one of these rah-rah people who are like, yeah, she's a doctor, and you better never call her anything else. I don't care, and I don't care when she uses doctor, even though it might be, we've talked about it on the show before. I don't know what she has her doctorate in, but she's not a medical doctor.
Right.
So a lot of conservatives think it's, like, ridiculous for her to be using that title.
Yeah, she's got a doctorate
Sebastian
in?
Gorka.
You know she got a doctorate in? And from the exact same college, University of Illinois, same as Megyn Kelly's dad.
Interesting.
Who got his doctorate 1 year before Jill Biden did at the same school, the same doctorate.
Does he go by doctor?
I don't know, but that whole thing just fascinates me. Like, why does anybody care?
I've said before, every person who graduates from law school like me gets a Juris Doctorate. It is a doctoral degree.
Dr. Dave.
Not one lawyer has anyone call them doctor, because you'd be King Douche. However, if you get a PhD, and by the way, the PhD predates the MD by quite a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a PhD, you have every right in the world, whether you are the first lady or not, you have every right in the world to be called doctor. You earned a PhD. And Rach, I'm with you. I couldn't care less. But when people lose their mind, like my ex did, since I dumped her, she has been insane. Get a grip, man.
I mean, I had like half my professors in college. It was Dr. Romellis. It was Dr. Davidson.
I'll tell you this. If I get a PhD in my life, your ass is calling me doctor.
Hey, my kid's getting a PhD. I'm calling her doctor.
Hell yeah.
Dr. Shannon, let's go.
You're not going to make
Dr. Like, daughter.
So, first off, yeah, she's a doctor.
Dr. Daughter.
And I called all my professors who had doctorates, doctors. But I remember I was in a finance class once. and somebody called the teacher professor and not doctor. And I remember to this day, this professor slash doctor going on this 5-minute diatribe about what they accomplished and their educational background. And you are going to respect them and make sure to call them doctor this. I'm like, and I'm just saying, they're going, are you kidding me?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Man.
It, look, it's just simple. You don't like Jill Biden.
It's, yeah.
Get it.
Yes, it's fine.
And then some people like her too much because half of Twitter has taken on that mantle of like that
doctor.
5-minute diatribe of like, you will never disrespect her by calling her anything less. It's like, guys, let's all calm down a little bit.
I will say the weird false demands for quote unquote respectful titles bother me. Like, no, you don't get to call me by my first name. I'm a mister to you. Like, no, you're not. You're Joe. Your name is Joe. I'm going to call you Joe. I'm not calling you Mr. Jims or whatever your last name is.
His name is Joe Jims.
Yeah, Joe Jims. He's a jerk, man. The guy always wants.
Kind of got over your skis on that one, didn't
you? Yeah, I did. I got a little fast because I was getting angry.
Well, we see that in happens. Sports.
What's that?
We see that in sports.
It's
like
Mr. Joe Jims.
It's like football coaches. Like, my name is, you. Like Nick Saban. You can't call me Nick. You got to call me Coach.
Yeah.
And actually, that's not him doing that. Actually, another media guy attacked a different media guy for not calling him Coach and for calling him Nick.
Yeah.
Like, Dion did it. Dion attacked somebody. Somebody said, hey, Dion. He said, no, you don't call me Dion. You call
Coach.
Me Coach Prime.
Like, Coach Prime. Coach nickname.
And then the guy's
you call
like,
me Joe Jims.
The guy asked the
Joe
question
Jims.
Again and started
He's
with
a
Dion.
Jerk.
Oh, it's, why do you care? How is
That's
this
my
topic?
Favorite thing you've done.
I can't believe he wants to just blow past it.
It's
so great.
I can see it happening.
It's the best.
It's like when you see
he
someone.
He was so mad at the imaginary
I
guy.
I know.
When you see someone.
Joe Jims. Amy just texted me. Joe Jims is a douche. I'm gonna create this profile on Twitter.
You're
Joe Jims.
Mister, you're Joe Jims.
Don't call me Joe. Call me Mister.
This is what happens when you.
Jimmy Jim, Jimmy Jim. Jimmy Jim, Jims.
That's what happens when you get mad. You go too fast. You're like saying,
man.
Joe Jims.
That was classic.
His name is John Jiggle Jimmer Jimmer Jish.
Okay, since we're picking on the Bidens a little bit, has anyone else seen where the president said, I have never felt more optimistic about America, and I give you my word as a Biden? Is that supposed to mean something, like your word as a Biden? Like, oh, I didn't realize he was speaking as a Biden.
Oh, yeah. Holy crap.
Yes, that is really odd.
Upon my reputation as a Jims.
it's not as weird as Joe Jims, but it's weird.
Oh my gosh.
So who got kicked out of a restaurant?
A Fox News anchor. I don't have his name off of the top of my head. It might be Caldwell, Mr. Caldwell. But I'm probably wrong. But he was down in Florida in a cafe having a conversation about politics, and the owner of the cafe approached them and said, your politics aren't wanted here, please leave the establishment, and they got kicked out of the restaurant. Yeah. I just wondered how everybody felt about that.
You know, no shirt, no service. I think if it's a private entity, they have the right to do that to anyone. I wish they wouldn't. I wish that you could have eggs over my hammy and say something super conservative or super liberal and just, you know, everyone just deal with it.
Man, that's so many things summed up. Yeah, you have the right to do it, but I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wish you weren't being a jerk
about
it.
But that same guy, I think you were right, it's Caldwell something, is like, he thinks that DeSantis should, quote, look closely at the restaurant.
Yeah.
No, he should stay away from the restaurant. He just leave it alone. It's a business. And by the way, it's probably bad for it's a stupid decision because now you're telling people that don't carry a certain political viewpoint, they shouldn't come spend their money with
in
you.
Florida.
In Florida. Yeah,
in Florida. Yeah. Well, let's see. What part of the Florida is it? It's in Miami. It's kind of half and
different.
Half.
Okay.
It's kind of half and half.
We just need to learn how to like get along with each other and disagree at the same time. I think that is the single biggest issue in our country right now. We cannot disagree with each other.
A lady saved up all of her money. I apologize. I forget which state this is in. And she opened a breakfast restaurant called Woke. And she has, I believe her, she has no interest in politics. She'd never heard the word before.
Huh.
It was like, hey, you're waking up. And she made the O an egg, and she put all of her money into a giant sign that said woke with the O as a fried egg. And conservatives started going off on her. And we're going to boycott you. We're going to picket. We're going to this. We're going to that. And she's like, please don't.
You're going to picket.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why you're mad at me. But then the other side now, like, you can't even get a table.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go eat it woke.
Both of those are stupid.
Support him. Yeah.
Both of those are stupid.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Not as stupid as Joe Jims.
No, that guy sucks.
Call me Mr. Jims.
He eats it woke.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sweating.
Sometimes that. Being stupid is so great.
When did you feel it? When did you know?
As soon as it didn't come out right. Because I'm like, Joe Jibs.
Think of any name.
I couldn't think of any name. I'm like, let's make
room,
another first
that's
name.
That's like wearing a bacon skirt into a bunch of vultures, right? I mean, we're, yeah. Like, we're just sitting up here like gargoyles waiting.
He said something dumb.
I felt so bad because like, it's
say
the greatest,
Jim's
though.
Ever, say Jim's.
No, it's so great,
I
though.
Felt so bad because Wheels just tried to blow past and keep making his point, yeah. And I'm just yeah. Like, Joe, Jim's.
Don't
Joe,
feel.
Jim's got louder.
A, don't feel bad. B, that's just how I go. I can't stop.
You're not mister. You're Joe. Joe Jim! We're like, 453 DGS and KMOX. Matt Pauly is with us. Andrew, you have sports stuff. You're not good at sports betting, and it makes you especially sad when sports guys cry.
Yeah, the crying one, that one's fast. That one was just about like the guy that had the late hit on Mahomes, and they just kept zooming in on him after the game while all the Chiefs people are like jumping around and celebrating, and he is just like bawling on the side. Like, he had like his helmet pulled off and he's just like shaking, just racked with sobs, and he just felt, I felt really bad watching him. Like, you feel like you didn't do it on purpose, because I think that, I mean, there's no way that anyone would be that stupid as to intentionally do that. It was a bad situation that he found himself in. Now he threw the, you know, the championship game, and they're not going to the Super Bowl, and it's pretty singularly his fault.
I didn't see the game. Would they have won that game without that?
No, it probably just would have gone to overtime, so it could have gone either way after that.
Yeah, it wasn't like they completely snatched, you know, defeat from the jaws of victory.
It did give them that legitimate chance at the field goal that ended up winning the game.
Okay.
So at the point that he committed the foul, there would have been 8 seconds left, no timeouts, and it would have been like a 60-yard field goal from where they were. So to complete a pass of any kind and gain any kind of yards, you're going to be close to running out of time and may not have any time at all to, like, spike the ball and then kick a field goal. So
gotcha. It
opened the door for Kansas City to win it right there, but it didn't necessarily lose the game automatically.
I love the storytelling of the guy crying. Like, that shows you the emotion. That shows you how much this means. Like, we all want to know what the stakes are to anything that we're consuming. And when you see this dude crying, you know what the stakes are. You know that it means something. And there's a reason we all sit there and watch NFL football, and a reason we don't watch some indoor professional game that's being played in Omaha.
Like, yeah, that Joe Jims is coaching.
Yes.
Mr. Joe Jims.
Coach Jims.
I was asking the guys how they're spelling it. I'm definitely, as soon as you said it, it was J-Y-M-S.
That is kind of a jerk spelling name.
Oh,
right? Yeah.
Completely.
I kind of had J-I-M-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like a two first
names. Like a Slim Jim.
Yeah, like two first names. Joe Jims.
Quickly, who'd you bet on to lose money?
So I keep doing these like big, giant, elaborate
parlays.
Stop doing those.
Yeah. I know, they sucker me into it, and it never works out. I've never once won one, and I keep losing on it.
You
and
need,
then
like the Generals to beat the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll just make a side bet on the Bengals and not tell anyone, and I'll just make my money back after I lose the big parlay. And then I lost that, too!
This is why they have big buildings in Vegas.
All right, have a good T-I-P-M.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!